Hello, everybody. Not that I'm an old guy. Anyway, this is marking a quarter of a century since Vladimirovich Putin was inaugurated as president of the Russian Federation. Now, of course, he took over as acting president on New Year's Eve 1999 because Boris Yeltsin stood down before the time set out in the constitution due to ill health. It was coming towards the end of a second term. He was an alcoholic. He died 7 years later. So he'd appointed Putin as prime minister only in August that year. Putin being director of the Federal Security Service for about a year before that. Then prior to that, he had worked in the mayor's office in St. Petersburg under Sobchak in charge of external relations. So it's a bit of an eminence grise, and he was the fourth prime minister that year. So he was a virtual unknown, he's the one who almost as soon as he came to office, these apartment blocks blew up in Moscow, Voronezh, other cities in working class areas, killing hundreds of civilians, and then blamed it on Chechnya. Now the Chechen conflict had been settled 3 years earlier. But why would the Chechens do something so provocative, which wouldn't weaken the Russian military whatsoever? And whenever a Chechen separatist set off bombs, took people hostage, to say, yeah, we did it. We take responsibility because we want you to know that if you hurt us, we'll do this to you. The Zhanjian said, no, we didn't do this actually. So Putin obviously murdered his own civilians. You can get chapter on that first in this to provoke a war against Chechnya, which Russia then eventually won. I mean, it took a few years. The first phase was fairly easy. But there was this rally to the flag thing, this tidal wave of patriotism. And obviously, he appeals to chauvinism, xenophobia, hyper nationalist militarism. And that carried him to victory. He was his approval ratings were sky high. This unimpressive little guy who'd been a second-rate spook in East Germany, and not even in the capital in Dresden. And then he was elected president. So he's prime minister and acting president at the same time. Remember in Russia, teaching people about the Third Reich, and what was so bad is Hitler was already chancellor, and then he became president at the same time. And the thing is that offices had to be held by two separate people. But no one to say that happened here in Russia. So that you can see that the guardrails have gone, and he was amassing too much power for himself. So he published that biography. A first person. I went to a speech by John Major, the former British Prime Minister, just a few months after, saying, well, Putin is a bureaucrat. But it's hard to remember now that Putin becoming president was greeted with relief across the world because Yeltsin was so erratic, because he was a roaring alcoholic. Famously, when he sort of got up on stage when there's some band playing and pushed the dancers aside, when he pinched some woman's bottom in public, and people thought, oh, well, he's more virile than we thought. You could get away with that kind of thing in Russia at the time. When he landed at Shannon, Ireland, and the Taoiseach had come from Dublin to meet him, but Yeltsin was ill, as in he was so inebriated that his aides just didn't even let him on the plane, or he didn't even wake him up, and so on. So our prime minister was humiliated. Putin was genuinely popular to begin with. Partly he was younger, he was healthy, he clearly wasn't an alcoholic, and so on. Thought he could get things done. Now there were some prescient people, some rare voices saying this guy is dangerous. He'll be fatal to democracy in Russia. He's KGB. He wants to go back to totalitarianism, and so it proved. They were Cassandras. There was nothing else the world could do. Now, I wanted to believe the best in him, and I realized he would degrade democracy. I said so at the time, but I thought maybe that's a price worth paying. Russia was close to being a failed state in the 90s. 1993, open fighting on the streets of Moscow, over 300 people killed in 2 days. The White House, as in their parliament building, was a burnt-out shell when I first visited Moscow in 1994. And people, soldiers, doctors, police officers, teachers, civil servants didn't get paid for months. So they were shaking people down from bribes. They were stealing off the state crazily. And what was this freedom of speech and free elections worth? That's what happened. The 1992 elections, the only fair election they ever had. The 1996 one, they say that actually Yeltsin rigged because other people wanted to vote communism to come back. And the election, the economy getting worse since the early 80s. Communism ended in 1991, and it got worse and worse and worse. Right on 1997, and it turned around. A lot of people had believed in democracy in the early 90s, but because outcomes had worsened for them, they no longer believed in that. similar to Germany in the early 1930s, say, well, let's have a dictatorship then. At least it will solve problems. They seek some drastic solution. So there was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of violent crime. AIDS spread a lot. A lot of drug addiction for the very first time. Different religions were allowed. People were preaching, spreading different forms of Christianity. A lot of people found that very menacing. Pornography was allowed for the first time. If you approve of freedom, you got a lot of people that, but a lot of people don't. There are a lot of prudes who didn't like it. But Putin was going to improve the situation, and he did eventually. I remember speaking to some Russian pupils in 2004. They said all Russian people like him. Now that's an exaggeration, but he was genuinely popular. He didn't need to rig the next election, 2004, because the economy had already started to go in the right direction before he became president, and he'd largely won in Chechnya and so on. And Russia seemed to be a bit more respected on the world stage. Pensions increased. People got paid on time. The state started to be less dysfunctional. It was all moving in the right way. Things admittedly been sorted out towards the end of the Yeltsin era, not really because of Yeltsin, but also that deal with Yeltsin and his family, particularly his daughter, who was quite important in his administration, that there'd be no prosecutions of the Yeltsin clan. Okay, but they just leave power early, and that happened. Okay. And Putin summoning the oligarchs to a big meeting in Moscow in 2000, and he'd read them the riot act that they'd been robber barons, and this was unacceptable and all the rest of it. And some of them had shoehorned him into power. Boris Berezovsky, later his nemesis, possibly even murdered by Putin, was one of those who was instrumental in bringing Putin to power, but very quickly fell out very badly with him. I mean, Putin judged things very badly that August 2000 when the Kursk submarine was trapped. The sailors eventually died and wouldn't accept foreign help in rescuing the sailors because then foreign navies would see the inside of a Russian submarine. And Putin carried on with his holiday. Anyway, the media lacerated for this. So Putin vowed he was never going to let this happen again. So that's where he began clamping down on the media, and he stealthily removed all media freedom. So Russia had a genuinely free media in 2000. You could say what you want. You could castigate the president. You could ridicule him in comedy shows. You could expose corruption. You could show how the FSB murdered hundreds of Russian civilians with those apartment block bombings in 1999. And you can't say anything these days. You can't even say a war is a war. You cannot insult any public official. And. He's a great guy. He has not done a great guy for a job for Russia. He's done a terrible job for Russia. But yes, he did have some successes in the early years, and not entirely because of him. And he's obviously posed as a religious man, going to the Orthodox Church and stuff like that. And so 2008, Liam Fox, a British conservative politician, he was the first one to warn Russia is massively increasing its defense spending. And it was his Putin's long-term plan to really boost his military spending in order to do things like try and subjugate Ukraine. So he wanted Russia to be a force to be reckoned with. Relations were very good in the early days. Would Russia be invited to join NATO? There was even talk about that. Would Russia join the European Union? Now that never came to pass. And obviously, NATO, you have to apply. You can't just be invited. So people really tried to trust him with their cooperation over Afghanistan and some of the Russian army officers in the 80s, giving NATO the benefit of their wisdom, where they succeeded, where they failed, lessons learned. And he had a good rapport with George W. Bush this time of the War on Terror. And Putin always tried to portray the Chechen independence campaign as part of Al-Qaeda's movement. And while there's a grain of truth in that, is largely false, and Putin's co-opted some of the worst, Sharia state headbangers. He's got one in charge right now, Ramzan Kadyrov. So he managed to dupe people. George W. Bush was easily fooled, just because he wore that cross. And George W. Bush said, "Well, I could, as soon as I saw one of that crucifix, I knew I could trust him." Well, what a moron he was! He was played by Putin. Putin will pose as whatever, and I could see Putin smirking. Putin could scarcely contain his laughter. That Trump was so gullible as to fall for that and think that they were on the same side there. But Putin showed his true colors in early 2001, even before 9/11, when they were closing on Grozny, the capital of Chechnya. The people of Grozny had to get out or be treated as a terrorist, as in he would kill every man, woman, and child if they didn't go through his filtration centers. And how are you supposed to get out if you're badly wounded? What if you're 90 years old? What about a 9-month pregnant woman? And so on. What about a disabled person? They were going to be treated as terrorists, and these filtration centers, certainly men, would be severely tortured. So endless atrocities in Chechnya and elsewhere. But people wanted to look the other way, to give them a chance. Russia's a powerful country, so we have to cooperate with them. Okay, was very feeble, but going to be powerful again. They've got major natural resources. And so he was able to play the Western countries. He realized he wasn't strong enough to take action against them, had to build up the economy, beef up his armed forces, gain what he could in terms of technology, education from other countries, and then get himself in a position to attack, which is what he did eventually. He is very bad news for Russia and elsewhere. There's been huge capital flight, there's been massive peculation, all these defalcations, all the bribe taking, all the money that's gone out of the country, all the money wasted on his illegal wars of unprovoked aggression and the occupation of Moldova and the occupation of Georgia. So, Russia should be a very rich country, maybe the richest country in the world, having over 17 million square kilometers, having really limitless natural resources of oil, gas, coal, but things like titanium, uranium, plutonium, anything you'd mention in terms of farmland, even timber, capacity for hydropower and solar power and wind power and wave power, and you name it. And quite a large population, quite cheap labor, very cheap energy, loads of space for anything you want in terms of factories. And he squandered it on these illegal wars of aggression. It's all terribly piteous. Where will it end? Leading his country disaster to demographic death spiral. Worried about the low fertility rate, and that's largely because of him getting so many of his people killed, so many Ukrainian killed, because they're supposedly brother nations, some brotherly love that is. Well, I can't wait till he's gone, but I don't think it's going to be that soon. We might be lucky a few months, probably several years. Thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then your PayPal, georgecallahan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.